Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, I want to welcome the President of the United States to the great state of Texas. I want to express my gratitude for our fellow Texans and especially the people of Corpus Christi for giving the President such a warm welcome on his ride over here, showing the gratitude that we all have for the President. I want to express my deep gratitude to the President for him and his entire cabinet and staff for what they have done over the past couple of weeks. A lot of people see what happens in front of the camera. I want to reveal in just 1 minute what's been going on behind the scenes, behind the camera for the past 2 weeks. About 10 days in advance of the hurricane, even coming in to the Corpus Christi area, members of the President's cabinet and the President himself were in contact with me and my office pre-preparing for this catastrophe that was coming our way. At every step of the way, as the hurricane came across the shore, as the flooding began in Houston, Texas, the President and his cabinet remained in constant contact with me and my staff, and they all had one thing to say: Texas, what do you need? How can we help? You can count on us. What I've learned is we can count on the President of the United States and his staff for helping Texas.
Well, friends, what you just heard is the voice of Texas Governor Abbott thanking President Trump and welcoming him to the state of Texas, primarily thanking him for his support throughout the crisis that has been and still is Hurricane Harvey. What I was not able to play for you was Governor Abbott referencing in its entirety that 10 days, you heard him mention that, but he talked in much greater detail about the fact that 10 days before the hurricane hit, it was obvious that this was going to be an event that would affect the state, and President Trump and his team was already in contact with the governor, strategizing and pledging his and the federal government's support. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Sam Rohrer and Isaac Crockett. And waving the Texas flag, fellas, President Trump vowed Tuesday to help storm-stricken residents get back on their feet as he surveyed the damage on the ground from Hurricane Harvey and predicted a recovery that would be better than ever before. The President stepped outside a Corpus Christi fire station, which is where the event was held, that you heard the clip that we played. It came from that event. He paused and tried to boost the spirit of Texans who have spent days, and we have watched all this on the news, days salvaging their belongings, searching for loved ones, and trying to get to dry land as they wait out the flood. The President stepped actually between two fire trucks and told the crowd that had gathered outside the fire station, "We are here to take care of you. We're going to get you back and operating immediately. We want to do it better than ever before," said the President. "We want to be looked at in 5 years or 10 years from now as this is the way to do it." To be honest with you, folks, it was quite a stirring thing to watch the entire press event. And so, Sam, I want to ask you this. Because I did watch the entire press conference, from my perspective, I saw a leader providing, and really, I'm going to use this word, pastoring exhausted workers, tired leaders, and grieving families, and he did so by his presence first, but he also did it by his words, and it was quite consoling and encouraging to me who watched it from a distance, so I can imagine what it would be like for those who were there watching it, and as well as the state of Texas as a whole. I'd love to have your comments, Sam, on this.
Well, Dave, I agree with your take on it. I saw a portion of that as well, and I've listened to the President's comments. And I think moved by the fact that, again, we have a tendency to compare contrast. And we compare contrast to what happened before. The former President was, to me, always a gladstander and more form over substance. But to me, significant was that the President had actually contacted Governor Abbott and those in Texas before this became an episode, saying, "We're watching it and we'll be there with you when it happens." Dave, I think that he was doing there and performed exactly like a President ought to.
Isaac, let me ask you this. The fact that the president, 10 days prior to the actual event happening, knowing that there is the storm brewing out in the Gulf, understanding what happened, obviously, with Hurricane Katrina, the flyover of President Bush, which was heavily critiqued and highly criticized, obviously, this president did not want a repeat of that. But I think there is something to be said with respect to the fact that President Trump is a businessman. He is used to looking at weather conditions that may affect a building project, may affect one of his buildings that's already been completed. As a younger guy, I would love to have your take on this, the fact that the Texas governor referenced and made it crystal clear 10 days prior to this crisis even becoming a crisis, the president was already conversing with us, trying to map out a strategy. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, I think you're exactly right on point there. And as a quote unquote younger guy, being 35 years old, the, you know, memories of Hurricane Katrina aren't as recent for me as Hurricane Sandy, which was here in the Mid-Atlantic. And I spent time in New York City with the recovery there quite a few days throughout several months. And it was horrific what happened there. That they, you're exactly right. They waited until after everything happened, and then they started to plan what to do instead of being ready ahead of time. I just couldn't imagine why they weren't more prepared for what they knew was coming. And so I think it's fantastic to have somebody who's not a typical president, who's not a typical politician, who says, let's start thinking ahead and have a plan for what's going to happen.
I think that's well said, Isaac. And friends, on August 24th, I want to bring this up now because we're going to talk about it a little more in detail in the next segment, but I want to get it out and converse a little bit about it now. But on August 24th, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, questioned the, quote, mental fitness of President Trump to serve. And here's what he said. He said, I believe the president is looking for a way out. And what he meant by that was a way out of office. Well, that critique by James Clapper was immediately, and I mean immediately, countered by Tony Schaefer, former lieutenant colonel who's now retired, who stated unequivocally the following statement, quote, James Clapper is an idiot. He said, I briefed him on several occasions, and when I explained to him complex issues, he stared at me as if he didn't get it. And then following up on that, Dr. Keith Abloh, who is a well-known psychologist, he's a regular on Fox News, he made the following statement, and guys, I found this to be very intriguing. He said, here's my assessment once again. Donald Trump is stone cold sane and more than mentally fit to be president of the United States. When a man acquires billions of dollars through complex real estate transactions, invests in many countries, goes on to phenomenal success in television, and turns his name into a worldwide brand, it is very unlikely that he is mentally unstable. And when that same man attracts to his team, talking about his presidential team, the kind of intellect and gravitas represented by Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, four-star Marine Corps General John Kelly, and Secretary of Defense James Mattis, he cannot be mentally deranged, period. Well, with that said, friends, when we come back from the break, there are warnings out there that not only has our president lost his mental ability to be president, there are also conversations out there that hitchhike off of this, saying that America is waiting for a civil war. In fact, that civil war is imminent. Well, my question is it? We're going to talk about that from a very unique perspective after this break. Friends, I don't want you to miss it. It's going to be fascinating, fascinating conversation. Join us after this time.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we went into the break, we were talking about James Clapper, former director of National Intelligence, and his accusation that President Trump is mentally unfit to be president of the United States. Of course, he is just one more voice in a growing cadre of voices that are saying things about our current president. And I believe all of this, friends, is an attempt to build a case for impeachment of President Donald J. Trump. Well, in light of that, televangelist Jim Baker is predicting the following, that Christians would begin a second civil war if the president were to be impeached. Let me quote what Jim Baker said in its entirety. He said, "If it happens, there will be a civil war in the United States of America. The Christians will finally come out of the shadows because we are going to be shut up permanently if we're not careful." And then he went on and said this, a warning that Christians are in danger of losing their voice in American society. He said, "God says faith without works is dead. We have to do things. God has been standing with me, and I don't know about you. It's time for preachers like you." And he was conversing with a pastor from Waco, Texas, by the name of Ramiro Pena. And by the way, I know Brother Pena quite well. He's a pastor of Christ the King Baptist Church in Waco. But he said, "It's time for preachers like you. You've been doing it, to stand up and shout out." Well, several Democrats have signed on to a bill to impeach President Trump. And, of course, all of you remember Jim Baker. He served nearly 5 years in prison for fraud and conspiracy connected to his original television program, The PTL Club. Sam, I don't normally quote Jim Baker or any televangelist for that matter, but in this situation, I personally believe Baker's right. The man with whom he was conversing is a very good man. He's a very credible man. His name is Ramiro Pena. Plus, this is just one more example of what we're all beginning to hear a lot about, and that is there is a civil war brewing in the United States. Sam, this morning, WorldNet Daily and a couple of other news outlets have begun reporting on Jim Baker's comments, so it's more than appropriate we talk about this here. What do you think about this? Is Jim Baker right? My personal opinion is I think he is. What do you think?
Well, Dave, I'm going to be very careful how I answer the question, because the entity that picked up his comments is an entity called Right Wing Watch. Now, they listen to this program and they listen to other entities across the country that are very bold in their speech. So they're trying to look at issues to make division themselves. That's the reason they pick it up. And that's how this even got out there. This was not something that was, you know, anyways, I'll come back into it. Nonetheless, the direct question, Dave, are we potentially at a position in this country where the division is so deep that it actually could lead to physical confrontation, i.e., civil war? That's a very, very, very tough word to use. Dave, it is possible. It is possible. But I would submit very strongly that in the case, as even as some of this was revealed, that Baker was predicting that Christians would begin a second civil war, I'm saying no way. That's
agree,
not going to happen.
That
is not going to happen. And I'll tell you why. Because those Christians who understand what the Bible says, God condemns rebellion. We are to pray for those in authority. We are opposed to a rebellion. that's way God said it from the beginning. However, God has never said that Christians should sit back and not speak out against and or oppose evil government or evil action. And again, I'll just conclude this and let you come back and ask a question. But this whole thing, you started out by saying that could the impeachment, perhaps, which is what he's saying, could an impeachment of the president or an attempt by the enemies of the president to impeach him, could that be the trigger? Well, now that's a different matter. Dave, if that does happen, and I'd like the quotes that you read, where there's nothing wrong with this president's ability to think, he just holds positions that are contrary to the enemies, the globalists and the others, that's the problem. But if they were to actually so violate their own oath within Congress so as to pursue a matter of that type driven by political means, Dave, then it should be every citizen in the country, Christian or not, to stand up and oppose that kind of flagrant violation of the obligations of those who are in Congress, who are the only ones who have the ability to take and raise the matter of impeachment or to pursue it. And so I want to put it out there. If there is something that happens, Dave, it's not the Christians who are starting it. It's those who are seeking the destruction of America who are starting it. The question is, will Christians stand by at that point and watch it happen or allow it to happen? And I would say on that regard, Baker's probably right. I think they would not stand by and watch it happen, but they're not going to be the ones to start it.
Sam, I think you said that very, very well and very, very clearly. We obviously believe that true Bible-believing Christians, because they are aware of what the Scripture has to say about submission to authority, are not going to be the ones at all that would start such an action. But what I do believe to be the case is what Jim Baker said about civil war occurring. I think there is the potential and possibility of it happening. I think it's definitely brewing, but I concur with you completely. It will not be Christians that start it. So that begs this question. What are the entities? And I want you to be specific, Sam. I want you to talk about individuals. I want you to talk about groups that are behind this brewing civil war. There are groups out there, Sam, that are pushing and promoting and trying to make it happen. They will no doubt try to blame Christians. Christians will not be the ones that start it. But who are the groups that are pushing it?
Dave, there are a number of them, and if I do it a little bit here, I could pull up an entire list. We presented numbers of them on here before, but let me put into this category. You got to go and say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening to this and as we're talking here, what organizations out there, what people out there on the national stage, perhaps we're, of which we're aware, who pride themselves in a division, seeking division? Not unity, but dividing and trying to divide and conquer. Dave, there are many. Let me just start here, and it's not necessarily in this order. But remember, it is the, I'll go back to the former president. The president himself was a community organizer. He came from a background, along with others, following the principles of Saul Alinsky, who their whole goal is to tear down society, to create division, to cast in the pit one race against another, one religion against another, one people against. That's what they're about. They're destructors. Now, they walk in lockstep, Dave, with others who are Marxist in their philosophy, those who have been for some time trying to rewrite our history, purge our nation of references to God or prayer. You've got to put into that entities like the Southern Poverty Law Center, even Right Wing Watch themselves. These are organizations that are really about furthering the removal and the rewriting of history as it would relate to our Judeo-Christian heritage. Into that, then, you have to put groups like Black Lives Matter, who are funded by, and many of these groups are funded by, vast sums from George Soros. George Soros oversees, yes, but he is a globalist. He has been funding the enemies of constitutional law. He has been funding those efforts to try and destroy the Constitution and our laws upholding that. Into that, you have to put the various spectrum of Islamic groups, Dave. Council on American and Islamic Relations, CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood in this country, and 1,000 or 1,200 other front groups that are associated with them because of their ideology, because of the dictates of their pursuing of Sharia, means mean that they want to destroy this country. They have said it, destroy the big Satan, the little Satan, Israel. They have to work at destroying constitutional law. Dave Kerr is behind one of those leading organizations that's there to try to, say, take down all memorials because, according to Sharia, memorials of any type can't exist under their law. So these are things, Dave, that are swirling in a pot together. We've had John Guandala on here, president of the Understanding the Threat. He's used the term, which is appropriate, red-green axis. That red-green axis is red Marxism and the green of Islam. And they are working together. I've connected some of those right now. But Dave, as we said from the beginning, and which I'll close, you've got ideologies that favor division. They're the globalists who want the world government. They're the establishment on both sides of the aisle in Washington, who are the enablers of this ideology. And then you have Islam, which has infiltrated Europe and the United States with the help of the establishment and the blessing of the globalist, with their goal of trying to destroy and create chaos, leading to an opportunity for a world government to come up and, as we say, the man of sin, the Antichrist, to be lifted up. This is the broader plan. These are some of the elements. They've changed faces and they've changed names, but they've been at it for a long time.
Isaac, you're a millennial pastor. You deal with a lot of millennials. Let me just ask you this in about 40 seconds that we have left before we have to go to the bottom of the hour break. Are you hearing much concern among your age group with respect to this civil war that is brewing in the United States? And if so, I'd love to have your take on that.
You know, it's an interesting thing, and it's very interesting that Sam referred to the Constitution and constitutional law. I think that's what informs us of what our duties are as citizens. And unfortunately, I think a lot of folks my age and younger know very little about the Constitution, know very little about the law. George Barna made this very clear recently when he was on here that we don't know our history and we don't know our real laws. And so therefore, we don't understand we're giving up our freedoms.
Well said, Isaac. When we don't know our Constitution, when we don't know our history, and then when we try to remove monuments to our history, friends, we're in a lot of trouble. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to take a brief parenthesis in the next segment prior to coming back to this brewing Civil War discussion in segment four. But in segment three, we're going to bring you some encouraging news with our special guest from Washington, D.C. I don't want you to miss it on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And I want to echo what we talked a little bit about yesterday, and that is the phenomenal job that ministries and ministers are doing down in the state of Texas with respect to the fallout of Hurricane Harvey. And of course, now the storm has moved up the coastline. It is, of course, no longer a hurricane, but it is now hitting Port Arthur, Texas. There is some incredible devastation there from flooding. But Franklin Graham's organization, Samaritan's Purse, and a host of others have literally, and I use the term, not trying to use a pun, but they have flooded the area with about 250 chaplains, as well as all types of vehicles and supplies that are being brought into that area to minister on the physical level as well as on the spiritual level. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. If you've seen any of the imagery, any of the clips that are being played on the news of all of these myriad, it looks like an armada of little boats that have been brought in by individuals and ministries that are rescuing people from homes, from hospitals, from nursing facilities. It is really a phenomenal thing to watch. And the event is not over. We know that this is going to be weeks longer until things begin to come even remotely close to normal, and then months until some of the building and the repairs, perhaps even years until all of this is thoroughly repaired. But this is an amazing time to watch not just humanity work, but to watch God's church work in a wonderful way. So these are things about which we need to praise the Lord. And in the midst of all the negativity, discussions we're having about a brewing civil war, and friends, trust me, that is a topic of conversation, certainly being generated by those on the left who want to see this, and the entities that Sam referenced in the prior segment that want to see a civil war. In the midst of all of that, there are phenomenally good things happening, even on Capitol Hill. And so our guest in this segment is my son, Nathan Kistler. He is our director for our ministry there on Capitol Hill called Hope to the Hill. Hope to the Hill is a subset of Hope Ministries International, which is the ministry I founded a number of decades back. And Hope to the Hill is a more recent ministry directed at Capitol Hill. But let me welcome Nathan to the program, and then we want to chat a little bit about an amazing event that's taking place coming up on September 12th in our nation's capital. Nate, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you all doing today?
Well, we are doing great, and you sound like you're in the next room, buddy. You sound crystal clear.
Well, that's great. I'm walking in between meetings today. I have a lunch appointment and walked up to the door, and he walked in, and he's getting a table, and I'm talking to y'all for a moment and then going to have lunch with a staffer here today. But God is doing some wonderful things, and as you mentioned, we're very excited. About 4 months ago, a group I used to travel with, the Neelands, years ago in gospel music, their daughter, who has been a very close friend for many years, invited me to a screening for the actors of a film that she is one of the main characters in called A Question of Faith. So I went to Atlanta and saw this screening, and I was so touched by the film as it dealt with faith and trials, as well as racial reconciliation, forgiveness, and trust in the Lord. I was so taken by that, I told the head producer of the film we needed to do something in Washington, D.C. to show this film. So I don't know if that was a mistake or not, because we have jumped right in over the past few months trying to get this together, and the Lord has really brought everything together perfectly. We had one of our final meetings yesterday with some staff trying to get this, and it will be housed in the Rayburn Building, which is one of the House office buildings here in Washington, D.C., and it's a screening geared more so towards members of Congress and their staff and anyone that would like to come that works in Washington, D.C. And so we're very excited, and I believe that we need a film like this. And obviously the producers of this film had no idea where our country would be at this point when they decided a year and a half ago to start this film. But it really, I believe, is exactly what our country needs right now. So we're excited about that, and we're encouraging folks in the pew, pastors, to go out on September 29th to go and see this film in theaters around the country. And we're just really thrilled about what God is doing through this movie already.
Well, Nate, we do appreciate you giving that update, and we do pray for that showing, that it'll be an encouragement to people. But I'm going to tie what you're saying in a little bit with what's happening across the country, because we're talking about what God is doing on the Hill.
Right.
And this film is there to help show that. But I know that the Congress is not in session right now, so there's a lot of folks who are that are not there. However, you're down there, you're kind of moving around, you're seeing what's happening. Do you believe that perhaps this national disaster of this hurricane, which is now, they're saying the numbers now are going to be well over $160 billion. We have been saying 40 was an estimate before. Now it's $160 billion, which will make it the most expensive disaster in the history of our country. Is a disaster of this type, which affects everyone, are you finding that that's at all causing some of the partisanship that perhaps was been so evident? Or is that kind of bringing people together or not? What's happening?
Yes, I think in a sense, absolutely. I've been in and out of offices for the past few days, dropping invites for this film screening and just talking to staffers, people that I know, and on either side of the aisle. And it's been really interesting how so many folks have they've actually put in requests to be able to go down to Texas to help. From here on both sides of the aisle. And so people are more than thrilled to do that. And that, I think, is what America has always been about. In times of crisis, people come together. And unfortunately, I think many times it takes a time of crisis to bring us together. But yes, I agree completely. I think we're seeing a lot of that. When Congress comes back into session, we will see much, we'll see how that goes with them. But this is the quiet before the storm right now. As everyone's getting ready, this month is the time where any kind of renovations that need to be done to any of the buildings are done right now. They're finishing up, and so it's very, very busy this week getting ready for all the members to come back. But we're praying that God would do something miraculous over the coming days, and that his will would be done. And we're just exhilarated at what he is doing.
Excellent.
Amen. Nathan, that is exciting. And my name's Isaac. I'm a young pastor, and I've heard you before. And it's exciting to hear about this movie. I know here at APN, I've often heard the different ones, I think especially of Gary, who's not with us today, but talking about trying to get young people involved in government and in media.
Yes.
And this seems to be a perfect marriage of both of those. Do you think that this will have an impact with all the crises going on in our country, that maybe this would be a time that would get more younger evangelicals to get involved in these areas and to start being public with what they believe and making a difference?
I think so. I don't think I've ever seen a film like this. And I told Dad the night that I saw it the first time that I had never seen a faith-based film like this that touched on so many issues at one time in such a balanced way. And so I firmly believe this film has the capability, as long as the Lord is at the helm, this film has the capability of drawing people together in ways that we have not seen in a long time. So that is my heart, my vision, and that's what we're praying for here.
Well, again, friends, you're listening to Nathan Kistler. He is the director of Hope to the Hill, and we're talking about a film called A Question of Faith that is going to be shown to members of Congress on September the 12th. It is a private screening for members of Congress. There will be ministry leaders that will be coming in and watching the film. It's going to be shown in the Rayburn Building there in Washington, D.C., and we are incredibly excited about this because of the message of the film. It has a strong message of faith. There is a scene, and I'm not going to give anything away, but there's a powerful scene in there that is a conversion scene. It also has images in there and scenes that deal with the very topic that's plaguing America right now, and that is racial reconciliation. And Nate, I would love you to do this. I don't want to give away any more of the storyline because I want people to go on the 29th of September, the general public, and those listening to the program to go see it in theaters because it is going to be shown starting that day. But one of the actors in the film is an actor that's been in a lot of other movies. In fact, numbers of the people in the film are top-tier actors. But one of these actors came to faith in Christ as a result of the film. And that in and of itself is very, very exciting. And we're excited about this film being shown to members of Congress, some of whom need the Lord as well. So talk about, if you can, just a little bit about that event when this gentleman trusted Christ as an actor in the film.
It's very exciting, guys. And God is, again, God is all over this film in ways that I've never seen before. So, Dad, I encourage pastors to rent out a theater, take your church. Folks, if you have money, rent out a theater and take everyone you possibly can. People need to see this film. This is a powerful, powerful film, and God has used it already just in the lives of the actors. I can't wait to see what he does when the general public sees this film. So we're so excited and privileged to be a part of this.
Well, Nate, I can hear noise in the background, and I know you are waiting to go into another meeting, so we're going to let you go. But
that's
thank you for being aboard.
I appreciate
thank you
guys
for sharing all this with us.
Well, we love you all. Keep praying for us and visit us at hopetothehill.com. You can read more about what's going on here in Washington, D.C. Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. God bless you, buddy. That's hopetothehill.com, and you can find out more not only about the ministry of Hope to the Hill in its entirety, but you can also find out about this film that's going to be shown on September 12th. Friends, pray about this. It's a screening for members of Congress. Sam, let me ask you this. Again, this is just one more installment in what is now a growing laundry list of ministry opportunities, the likes of which I have never seen in my life. And you know, Sam, I've been involved in ministry on Capitol Hill now for about 18 years. That's involved 3 crusades on the National Mall, 2 in the Pentagon, ongoing ministry to elected officials. Sam, this is a unique time, and I know we've got a couple of seconds, but it's a unique time, is it not?
Dave, it's absolutely unique, and we just may talk about that perhaps when we come back after the break.
Well, we will, and we will also talk about this, friends, as we go back to our topic that we started the program with, this brewing civil war. What can you do? What can we do? What can the church do to prevent another deep divide like the Civil War of the 1860s in the United States of America? Though there are those that are pushing, promoting for that very thing. What can we do to see that that does not happen again? That's going to be our topic after this brief time out.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we talk a lot on this program about the things that are going on in our country politically, and we also talk about what's going on in our country spiritually. And in days past, very recent days past, we've talked a lot about what's going on with respect to the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, and how those events have a deeper motivation behind them, that it's not just KKK members, white supremacists, and them going into open conflict and violence with Black Lives Matter organizations, leftist groups, globalist groups. There is a deeper struggle going on, and that struggle is very much spiritual. Behind all of what we see on the surface is the efforts of the wicked one, and I'm talking about Satan himself, who's trying to bring about this one world government, trying to bring about a situation whereby the man of sin, as the Bible calls him in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist, can emerge onto the world stage. All of this is what's at work behind this anarchist movement within the United States of America. And while all that is going on, we bring to you a story like we talked about in the last segment with this phenomenal film, A Question of Faith, being shown to members of Congress in Washington, D.C. Sam, I want to ask you a question, and I want to drill down on this. I know we've talked about it before, but this is vitally, vitally important with where I want to go as we wrap up the program today. I think it's critical. In fact, I know it's critical that our listening audience understand that there is something greater at stake here than just what we're watching take place on the surface. There's something deeper going on here than what we can observe on the surface, and that is, as God is attempting to do great things, even in our nation's capital, as God has already done wonderful things in our nation's capital this year, since the start of 2017, the wicked one is trying to thwart that, and he's doing it, or attempting to do it, by these things that we see reported on in the media. Of course, the major media outlets are never going to frame it in the way we're framing it because they don't see it. They don't have a spiritual mindset to see it. But Sam, talk about that a little bit so that people understand the devil never rears his ugly head and creates the kind of division and controversy in our country that we're currently seeing unless he feels threatened by things like what's going to take place September 12 with this powerful film being displayed before members of Congress.
Dave, I think that's exactly correct. I think one of the things that all concerned citizens, I want to say Christian citizens, need to understand is that what you're saying, there is the larger struggle that's been at work. Before there was a creation and mankind, devil in the form of Lucifer rebelled against God. So rebellion is not something new. It's quite old. And it doesn't start down to somebody down the road. It starts with Lucifer, Satan, a long time ago. He rebelled against God. God created mankind. man sinned, yielded to the temptations of this same devil. And now we, as all humankind, are plagued with this thing called sin in our hearts that actually move us away from God. That is the conflict that ultimately is there, and it manifests itself, Dave, in a multitude of ways. It's internal struggles within our own heart. It's fightings and feuding within families, between people to people, between neighborhood to neighborhood, perhaps, and nation ultimately to nation. I think of the book of James. Chapter 4 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Don't they come even of your lusts that war in your members? Between you lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot have, you fight and you war, you have not because you ask not." And then it goes on and talks about that. "So whoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Dave, ultimately this struggle that we're witnessing, it's spiritual, started way back. It continues through time, through our lifetime, through civilizations past, and it will continue in an enhanced form, even as we approach the end of the age, until which point the devil, having rallied his troops of evil-minded people opposed to God on this earth, will confront on the plains of Megiddo in Israel, and Christ will come, and he will perform the victory, and ultimately everyone will bow before the feet of Jesus. So, Dave, the real issue is, and the struggles starts individually in the hearts. Are we going to agree with God and his plan, or are we going to say, "We don't believe you," and agree with the devil and take an opposing view? That is where it starts. That's why, Dave, the preaching of the gospel and the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ is the only way you can heal these divisions, but it can heal every division if we choose to believe and agree with God. This is what must be preached. This is what must be lived out. And this is the only solution to the developing division that we have before. It's not political. It's not some matter of policy. It's a matter of Jesus Christ and people in their own hearts agreeing with God about who Jesus Christ is. When that happens, there's unity. If that doesn't happen, you can't bring two sides together.
Isaac, I want you to capitalize and hitchhike off of what Sam just said. He's talking about the cosmic struggle of all the ages, and we look at it as Americans and perhaps even those that are not aware of what the Bible has to say about these things. They look at it as, you know, hey, we're facing a brewing civil war in America again. And they don't see it in the context of the cosmic struggle that's been going on between good and evil, light and darkness, right and wrong, God and Satan, throughout the history of this planet. And Sam framed it so well. As a millennial pastor, Isaac, comment a little bit, if you would, about what can be done very practically now on the part of those listening to us, especially those that are believers in Jesus Christ. What can and must be done to prevent, with the help of God, of course, but prevent another civil war crisis of that nature in the United States of America?
Well, you know, that is so true what you're saying. It is this cosmic struggle. It is exactly what Sam was describing. You know, it's an issue that we need to go back to the cross. We need to go back to Jesus Christ, back to the true gospel. And unfortunately, there's so much in our world that people say, oh, this is the gospel or that's the gospel. It's not true gospel. It's not according to the Bible. It's people's, you know, ways of trying to cheer themselves up without Christ. But we need to be Christ-centered. As Christian individuals, everyone listening to the program today, we need to live our lives the way that the Bible teaches, the way that Jesus Christ taught us. As preachers, we need to be preaching Christ. And the Bible points us, from all parts of the Bible, it points us to the cross. It points us to what Christ did for us. That is the good news. And these things that we see going on about us, many, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world are going through these kinds of things. They are literally facing the physical confrontations that Sam spoke of. And even within the United States, this is starting to happen more often. Down through history, Christians have been burned at the stake. My father, when he used to go and smuggle Bibles into the former Soviet Union, many of the people he worked with had been sent off to Siberia. They'd been claimed that they were mentally unstable and were enemies of the state, and the regime had sent them off. And so we're dealing with real things, real problems. And we need to turn to the cross of Jesus Christ and preach the true gospel and live it out.
Outstanding statement, Isaac. Sam, I want you to do this. We have a lot about which to pray. We have a lot about which to be encouraged simultaneously, but we do have a lot about which to pray. Would you take us to the throne of grace as we exit the program again And would you pray that a civil war will be averted? And as you said, Sam, the only way it can be is if we agree on certain critical things with respect to who Jesus is. So pray, if you would, please, for us.
I will. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come in the conclusion of this program to you, recognizing that you are the solution, you are the hope, you are the true change, the one and only. May those here on this earth look to you, believers, look to you, live out the truth. May those who do not know you, Lord, look to you for the transformation of their lives. You are the hope. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us on Stand in the Gap today. 23 hours from now, we'll be back for our next installment. Join us then. Until then, stand up for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.